Wally Lamb is the incredibly popular author of She's Come Undone and I Know This Much Is True, both of which were selected for Oprah's Book Club. Wally has been the director of the Writing Center at Connecticut's Norwich Free Academy and has taught creative writing in the English department at the University of Connecticut. Lamb was born in Norwich, Connecticut. Interestingly, he credits his ability to write in female as well as male voices with having grown up with older sisters in a neighborhood largely populated by girls. He studied at the University of Connecticut, earning a BA and an MA in education and an MFA in writing from Vermont College. He began writing in 1981, the year he became a first-time father. Short stories were first, then his first novel, She's Come Undone, followed 6 years later by I Know This Much Is True. In his new title, We Are Water, Lamb returns to his familiar setting of Three Rivers. Let's speak with him about it now. Welcome, Wally. It's a thrill to have you with us on the Book Report.
Yeah, thanks, Elaine. I'm happy to be here with you.
What are we to make of the fact that the book opens with a conversation between a Mr. Agnello, a museum director, and a journalist, keeping in mind that the Italian word Agnello translates into lamb?
You found that out, huh?
I did.
Well, of course, I'm doing this a little tongue-in-cheek, because Gualtiero means Walter, and Agnello means lamb. And so it's a sort of a Hitchcockian thing that I'm doing here.
If you would introduce us to Annie O.
Yeah. Annie is she's a complicated and complex individual. Had a very rough childhood. Her mother died in a flood. Her father, as a result, drank himself to death. And because she was left alone in the clutches of an older cousin, he began to molest her, and so she had that in her past as well. And so she grows up pretty much an orphan, and marries a guy who is a psychologist. They're something of a mismatch, but their marriage lasts for about 27 years. They have three children who are in their 20s when the novel begins. Annie has become what I would call an outsider artist. She's not a trained artist, but she, for reasons that she doesn't even understand, begins to create this angry art that, from found objects, you know, things left on the sidewalk or things in landfills or, clearance sales, that kind of thing. And she becomes quite commercially successful and falls in love with her gallerist, the woman who makes her commercially successful, and decides to leave her husband, Orion, for Vivica.
Okay. Orion seems to be a caring husband, a good provider, and a loving father. Do you believe he failed the family?
Well, in some ways, yes. I believe he is a benign enough person, but he's also guilty of being asleep at the wheel. He is a workaholic, goes to the university where he counsels students early in the morning, comes home late, is a little bit self-pitying, I would say, and what is going on domestically is sort of flies past him. And what I mean by that is particularly the abuse of Annie, or by Annie, of one of their three children. Their kids are two twins, fraternal twins, male and female, and then they have a younger daughter as well. And Annie, based on some of the things that had happened to her when she was a kid, begins to target for physical violence, physical abuse, her son, her male child.
You mentioned Vivica. I'm not quite sure if we're supposed to like her. She is Annie's partner.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I wasn't quite sure either. The jury was out on Vivica for quite a while I was writing. You know, Elaine, I'm not the kind of writer who sort of maps everything out or outlines everything and writes toward a preconceived ending. I show up at the word processor every day to find out what's going to happen next. And so I was getting, of course, different information as I was speaking in the voice of Orion than I was speaking in the voice of Annie about who this Vivica is. Now, there are a lot of voices in the story. It's told from multiple characters in the first person, but I was pretty sure I did not want Vivica to speak. I didn't want her to be one of the one of those characters, because I was still weighing the evidence about who she was, and so I wanted her. I wanted to understand her through various points of view.
You mentioned the outsider artist Josephus. He either fell or was pushed into a well after a painting of a local white girl was his version of Adam and Eve.
I can tell you that Josephus Jones is based on an actual person, an outsider artist who was African American, as is Jones, who grew up in my hometown of Norwich, Connecticut. And he painted, he was a laborer, but he began to paint obsessively, because he couldn't not paint. And I've seen many of his paintings. He couldn't sell any of them in his own lifetime, but now he's highly collectible, as sometimes happens. And he had a white wife. He was a black man in 1940s, 1950s Eastern Connecticut, and he became a target. Now, officially, the record says that his death was accidental. But the black community in Norwich believed at the time and still believes that he was targeted for a racial killing.
Was there actually a faction of the KKK operating in Connecticut at that time?
Yes, and further, you know, further along as well. I remember in Eastern Connecticut, in the town of Scotland, Connecticut, which is not too far from the University of Connecticut, there was a local chapter of the KKK operating. It was very much under the radar, but it was still there.
You never think that it. You know, you think of the KKK as so southern. It's very surprising to learn that they were operating in the Northeast as well.
Yeah, I think the Northeast gets a free pass in a lot of ways about the the whole racial component of this country, and the disgraceful legacy of slavery and anti-black sentiment. But yeah, it did exist.
Annie keeps a terrible secret from her family, which you've already alluded to, because she believes she's protecting them. But her secret impacts her life and her children's life, as you've said, and it's the source of her deep-rooted anger. Talk about her decision to keep such a devastating secret.
Well, you know, Elaine, I think when I look back at this novel, I wasn't so much aware of it at the time, but, you know, I'm living in the world of the story, but I also live in the real world. And one of the things that I do in the real world is I volunteer at a women's prison in Connecticut. I teach creative writing there. Now, my students at this prison can write about, you know, in any genre that they want. They can elect to write poetry or drama or short story or memoir. Most of them choose memoir pieces because they have arrived at a time in their lives and a place in their lives that they never planned on being at. And so when they write these autobiographical pieces, many times, you know, once they begin to trust me, and once, more importantly, once they begin to trust one another and themselves, they begin to write some very deeply personal, very deeply disturbing stories about childhood experiences. And sadly, there is a high correlation between incest victimhood and later incarceration. I think it's probably higher for females than males, but it certainly is the case for males as well. And I've been doing this program for about 14 years, and so little by little, through their writing, they have educated me about what goes on in houses like this, and how secrets are kept, and with lots of times with threats and so forth. And so I think in our culture, women tend to keep things in, and men tend to be more explosive. And so if I'm a guy and I'm mad at the guy who, might have, sexually abused me when I was a kid, I can go to the bar and punch out the guy on the next stool. But women, I think, are more apt to sort of hold it in until they snap. And so that was kind of the scenario that I created for Annie.
So is the idea for your next novel already bubbling around?
I have committed to a next novel, which is going to be sort of like my little comic novella that I published a couple of years ago, a little Christmas story called Wishin' and Hopin'. And because this is the book that I've finished now, We Are Water, has some dark themes, and it's very serious in its content. I kind of wanted to remind myself that you can walk on the, on the sunny side of the street as well.
Well, Wally, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. I love the book, and I would encourage everyone to go out and read it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. This was fun talking to you, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks.